This is a Pinball News production.
I'm Mark Patsky. I'm the president and owner of a multi-products company. I have no structure today. My computer crashed and I was scrambling yesterday to throw some pictures in there, and I was going to leave it pretty much loose anyway to more or less answer questions, give a brief history of multi and the phases that we've gone through with pinball. We've been making pinball over motors for pinball for over 50 years, and we can trace our history back into the 30s as far as the design goes. What I thought I'd do is start off with a video that we made a few years ago. Basically, it's just a selling video that Multi has for introducing us to the engineers and of different manufacturing products that our motors go in. So with that, I'll let them start the video, and Gary Stern has a nice few words to say about us.
Multi-products helps make the world go round. At the heart of some of the world's most commonly used devices reliably spins a multi-products motor. Bill changers, food service equipment, coin-operated amusement games, and ventilation equipment, just to name a few, all rely on the power of the small gear motor to make them go. And making high-quality motors to precise customer specifications is what Multi-Products Company does every day. Multi-Products Company was founded in Racine, Wisconsin, the motor capital of the world. It's the same city where some of the world's most famous motor-driven devices were invented and built. Products like the Hamilton Beach Mixer and the Dremel Rotary Tool all had their roots in a Racine manufacturing company. Multi-Products Company was founded in 1957 when Don Patsky joined forces with a specialty machine shop working to make parts for the aerospace industry. The following year, the company expanded into the business of making small gear motors. It was the beginning of a nearly 50-year tradition of making quality products. The company has always been family operated. There's no shareholders to satisfy, just an uninterrupted commitment to quality since the very beginning.
I believe a family-run business means that I am more involved and can be closer in touch with the customer and the customer's needs. What we can do is smaller batches, which means you have less inventory tied up or less money tied up in inventory. You can get what you need as you need it. We can do some of your sub-assembly work. If you as a customer take our motor and put something on the output shaft, or place a mounting bracket on there, or a special wiring harness, we can do all that. So it's truly an out of the box and into your product finished good.
We make what I call mechanical action pinball. Pinball machines where a lot of mechanical things are happening. Toys are moving. The player sees physical state changes. We need motors to make these state changes happen. Multi-Products works with us to design the particular device, to make sure we have the right kind of motor in it. They're experts at doing this with us. Delivery's great, service is great, design is great. We're very happy with everything that they do to help us make these pinball machines. As we are the last manufacturer of pinball machines, it's very important to us that pinball continues. To us, it's a business, but it's an art form. It's something that should continue, and Multi-Products has contributed a lot to help us continue pinball machines. If we ever stop, then the world will lose something, maybe not that important, but a little bit of the fabric of life. There will never be another pinball machine if Multi-Products doesn't help us.
How about Gary Stern? That was a home run for us. Brings tears to my eyes just about. As you can see, I'm passionate about pinball. That's my collection right there. It's not a huge collection. I used to have a Lethal Weapon 3, but the carpeting that all those are sitting on, that's what it was traded for. Guy said, either $3,000 for the carpeting or, hey, I'll take that pinball over there. And I'm like, okay, I only paid $1,500 for the Lethal Weapon 3. There we go. So anyway, this, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. I grew up this one Super Par Golf. is a prototype that was given to my dad by, I forget the guy's name, at he was one of the directors at Chicago Coin. And so I've had that since I've been about 5 years old. And Rob keeps hassling me, sell it to me, sell it to me. That's not going to happen. So that's my pride and joy. Let's see here. Well, that's the back glass. It's in perfect shape. Play field. Golf ball's there. It's a really neat game. Gets played all the time. Sorry. 9-1-1, that was a fun one. That's right after my dad died, and then I had to start getting and visiting the pinball manufacturers myself. At the time, we had five that we were having to visit. We had Capcom, we had Williams, Bally, Data East, Premier, Gottlieb, and we knew which side of our bread was buttered on. So if I'd drive right from Williams, go over to Data East or Sega, I'd have to watch out. Everybody trusted us as a supplier and still do. I wouldn't be able to, you know, I couldn't divulge anything until it was publicly released. Something that, like this one, Bill Parker and I were working on, you know, six, 8 months. He, you know, hey, can you make me a motor to do this? I need it to reverse. I need, you know, the ball to come up through the play field. I'm going to have a helicopter come through and you know, wanted a motor for the propeller. So we had three motors on this game, the helicopter propeller and the ball lift mechanism and the reversing motor moved the helicopter. So while that's going on, I have to just forget everything I've learned at Premier and then drive over to Williams and say, okay, what's next? And talk to Ernie Pizarro or Zofia Bill on their projects. And, you know, Judge Dredd was coming. We had a counter-rotating shafted motor, which I have a picture of. Well, that's my shuffle alley. That one. That one is a fun one, and it comes up. But I'm getting too far ahead of myself. But what I'm, you know, to give a little history, you know, we'd have to go, you know, back and forth, all the pinball manufacturers, and they knew that they could trust us, was what I was getting to, I guess, there. So and we have a history with pinball. I appreciate everybody's patience with my PowerPoint presentation or lack thereof. It's my computer crashed this week. My credit card was stolen, so I've been working on that, and it's just a nightmare. But anyway, I really didn't have any true structure to this. I was just brought some pictures. I took some pictures of some motors that have been sent back to me for repair. You know, and I was just going to explain our motors and what, you know, we can do. We can repair. We can send you places to get our parts. The more common stuff that people buy in higher volume because they're a little more popular. I guess I'd start the design of our motors. Basically, started here. This is a 1934 Electric Motor Corp. I'll pass it along here. We can pass it through the crowd. Notice how narrow the faces of the gears are. That's where we trace our designs back to in the older motors. I guess there's two generations of motors from the 50s, 40s and 50s up through the 70s when solid state came about. That motor was used in most of the, you know, the pin or the reset motors, the scoring reset motors, rarely used in the action of the game. And then solid state came about, and then so there's no more need for these big switch banks of, you know, that our motors drove. So from about the 70s through the mid 80s, our motors weren't used, maybe one or two games here and there. And then starting in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, I think Raven, I heard the title Raven at Premier. We had a motor like that with a long shaft. We ran the helicopter the propeller, the prop on that, just as a visual. And so it started to trickle in as part of gameplay, you know, shifting a ramp. To today, you know, we've got the two motors in Batman, Dark Knight, one for the Joker, and then they called it the Scarecrow mechanism, is what we had always been told by engineering there. I need a motor to do this for the Scarecrow mechanism. So that was a story in itself, going back and forth and getting that design right for them, with them. And that's where I love Gary. Just gives us free run of the place. I can walk in, go right into engineering and say hi to Ray Tanzer and Phyllis Rosenthal and all the guys there and help them work on something. I'll drop off some samples, some ideas that I have. Some make it into games, some don't, but it's neat. But one of the options for motors repair, if you have a motor, it's an older one, it typically needs to be sent in to us for repair, and I can repair just about anything. Here's an old jukebox motor that was sent in, and waiting for me to get to it. That's on my desk, and what we charge is $200, and I will put a whole new coil on it, and it replace any gears that are broken. I have to remove the bracketry. Please keep any bracketry. If you send me a motor, keep any of the bracketry, screws, or anything that's attached to the output shaft, because we never put any of that on. And when the game was made originally, back in the 50s or even last week, at the time, we would send it to the manufacturer, and then they would put on the arm on the output, bracket, screws. That stuff has a tendency, it can get lost, even though I'm the only one that really touches the motors. Like I said, it's a passion of mine. I keep it alive. But accidents happen, and it has happened where I've had to send back the bracket with the motor, and the gentleman that got his motor back lost the bracket, blamed us. We had to dig up old drawings. He found an old drawing from Williams or Premier, wherever it was, Bally at the time, and I had to pay to have a laser cut, bent up bracket made for him because he demanded that. I lost that. You know, so that's why I say, keep your brackets. Keep any mounting hardware. Keep anything that was on the output. So that's an old motor. That's what we call the old 600B. Motor. That's what it looks like from the front. So we get them all. What I wanted to show in this one was that right there where it says spec, that number is like God to me. If you give me that number, I will know what you have. I have the spec sheets dating back. And this holds true with the motor research, the old motor research motors that we did. That were done before. That's where my dad worked before he went to multi-products. And so we have all those spec sheets too because we bought the assets of motor research back in 2000 when they had two employees and some machines and not much left and a lot of debt to us. So I just took their assets and we agreed that I would get the assets for the debt that they owed us. So like I said, you give me that spec number, I know exactly what you have. And we can tell you, yes, we can do it, or here's something that you can do to see if it'll work, or you can get parts. We do have parts kits for some of the older motors, more of the open frames, with Steve Young and Bay Area Amusements. Those are our two main ones that we've been working on with either doing repairs or part sales for the older stuff, pre-70s. Call them, they'll have a parts kit and be able to help you, or you can send it to them if you're closer to them. And Steve Young, that's where I got the Judge Dredd motor. Steve Young sent me two of them that he's working on. This is an old pin reset motor or a something from one of the old shooting games. because this is reversing, you know, this goes clockwise, this goes counterclockwise. What I wanted to demonstrate here in this picture is the owner took grease and greased this up and used a grease that got hard and rock hard and solid. And that is locked up purely from the grease that is put in there. It got the oil evaporated out of it. I don't even know what it turned into, like a varnish, and locked up this motor. So I'll take it apart, put all new bearings in it. I'll wash this gearing, put new bearings in it. The grease that I recommend is right there. MagnaLube. Anytime you have metal on metal, and go to MagnaLube.com. They have them in little toothpaste tubes, little quart jars, gallon jars, 55-gallon drums. I found this to be the best out there because it's a Teflon, petroleum-based, and it doesn't evaporate, doesn't dry out. Like I said, I've seen motors get locked up because somebody puts a lithium grease on the motors and just it locks them up. They're solid. It turns into a varnish. Same thing with the... let's see here. Go back. I've seen that on Judge Dredd. Guys will take white lithium grease or some different greases, and it'll lock up the outside of the Judge Dredd motors as well. Another tip, don't use WD-40 on our motors. Do not use WD-40 or kerosene. I know everybody in this room loves and cares for their pinballs and does a great job, but I see some of the things that people send me back that I see are hobbled together, coat hangers holding them through instead of rivets, screws. I'll call the guy and I'll say the bearings are just worn out in there, and he's like, well, I put kerosene on there once a month. Our bearings have oil impregnated. Kerosene just eats the oil in the bearings, so then it's just dry metal running on dry metal, and it just eats the bearings. This is another Teflon-based lubricant. I get it at the auto parts store, sometimes at the hardware store I've seen it. I like it a lot. I use it for everything at home, you know, from door hinges to my motors, my bathroom motor. Another real good one, and I didn't get a picture of it, is 3-in-1 oil, but not the typical red can. You get the blue can 3-in-1 oil. It's engineered for motors. It'll say motors quarter horsepower and higher, but it'll work in ours. It's the same type bearing. It's bronze bearings that are porous, and they're impregnated with oil. So you put WD-40 on them. That is a solvent that eats oil. It'll loosen it up. It'll, like, if you have your motor that is varnished up from grease, it'll loosen it up, but you gotta get oil in there. I've had a lot of questions, like particularly with Judge Dredd, the same thing always goes bad in there. There's a set of gears that strips out over a period of time. And maybe you can help me with this, because I only get feedback of the motor's broke, fix it. I fix it, send it back, you know, build it the same way. And I can make motors, I don't want to say bulletproof, but a whole lot better than I made them originally after seeing what goes bad in real life tests. If I fix a Judge Dredd and I make it bulletproof, will it wreck something in the game? That's what I wrestle with. So I say, give me feedback. You can send it to repairs at multiproducts.com. But, that's one of the things that I wrestle with, because Steve Young will call me and he'll say, God, we get a lot of these, you know, the same thing over and over. Can you fix it? And I'll say, I can make a motor bulletproof, but will it wreck something else that isn't replaceable? That's what we're faced with. Because I can fix these motors all day long, you know, from here until out. I can fix motors, no problem. But we can't fix an irreplaceable molded part or something like that that may break, because then the motor isn't breaking. So we went through the MagnaLube. That's something I've always been asked in the past. Why don't you just make your motors stronger? Why don't you you know, make them, you know, all hardened steel gears, wide face gears, and make them so they're strong so they never break. Well, then I wind up with a motor that's too expensive to go to production, because I'm always wrestling with the engineers. We need it to last forever, and then purchasing, when I give them purchasing the quote, they're like, these motors are too expensive. That'll never make it into the game. So it's always purchasing and engineering fighting at no matter where it is, whether it's pinball or popcorn poppers or tennis ball machines. We're always with that struggle, so it's a matter of finding balance. This is the pre-70s, 70s and earlier, and that was 80s and later motor. No structure. There's a rotor, you know, I was just showing parts that typically go bad, and that's a kit that we'll sell to Steve Young. It'll have that, those three components, and there we go. And the Bakelite. That, I think, is the number one thing that goes wrong in the old score motors, the open frame score motors. And that's canvas-based phenolic Bakelite. And they use that for noise suppression. Now, in a pinball machine, who cares about noise? So when your repair comes back, if I have to repair it or you get it in a kit, it will have either brass or steel first reduction. There's an example of, you know, I can make motors bulletproof, but if you have a motor that works and that Bakelite gear is in good shape, give it a shot of oil. Give it a shot of oil, because they get old and brittle. Oil, not WD-40. I can't stress that enough. I guess I'll open up the floor for questions, if there's anything in particular.
Really pleased to meet you, Mark.
Do not. If you can take it off, take everything off. Just send me the motor only, because then if it gets lost in shipping, I don't want to be responsible for it.
Do you want the motor or just send the motor?
Either or. We have repairs at multiproducts.com. You can send me an email, send me a picture of what you have. Usually if it's a multi or moto search motor, I don't have to worry about it. I know I can fix it. If it's another manufacturer like Molon, Merkel Korf, UMC, any of the other ECM, it's a maybe. I have to see the motor, and then sometimes it's just like, holy cow, I won't even be able to touch that. Or if you want me to touch it, it's going to be on shop rate at, you know, $75 an hour for me to do it. But contact me, or if you just want to send your motor in, I can repair it. I will just make sure there's contact information in there, and we'll call you for credit card. Shipping's included back to you. Williams, I'd probably say we made about 90 to 95% of the motors. Sometimes on the smaller visual things, smaller game attractions. Yes. Yeah, it's either available or repairable.
Okay.
It depends. If there's enough motors to fill the repair market, then the Steve Youngs and the Bay Area Amusement, the Marco Specialties, will start ordering. And we have a 25-piece minimum quantity to set up and build a run. If there just hasn't been a need for it, not enough of them are going bad, then we will suggest they get repaired. The other thing that they're doing is they're starting to stock. I know Bay Area Amusement starting to stock just the DC motor, because a lot of times the DC motor goes bad before the gearbox goes bad. And there was like four different types of DC motor configurations that we put on the gearboxes. Sometimes they'd have a 9-tooth pinion, sometimes they'd have a 12-tooth pinion. And he's got all the configurations. We made a little chart. Oh yes, we'll ship internationally. Germany, Australia, those are probably our two biggest places we ship to. We get motors from and ship back to. So international is no problem, just so the credit card's good. All righty. Oh, one more, last one.
With the economy, how's business been for the last year?
Actually, it's been quite steady.
Steady for you. Okay.
Yeah, we've had two games just pinball in particular, the last two games for Stern has been two motors per game, Indiana Jones and now Batman. We're working on another one. I can't disclose that title just yet, but it's doing good. We're staying steady. We're not setting any records, and we're able to keep going. The alternative energy stoves, that's a growing market for us, the corn and pellet stoves. Yeah, we have the auger feed motor and the ash stirrer motor in those tennis ball machines. We have we've supplied to the top four manufacturers of tennis ball machines. Ventilation is still big, but that's slowed a little bit.
Thank you.
So.
Very nice. Very good. I feel like I missed some. Good.